You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Round, round, get around,
I get around,
yeah,
get around, round, round,
I get around,
I get around.
Joining me. That's right. Much anticipated. Right? And I know that his fans are listening. From the great state of Texas, Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up, man?
What's going on, Mac?
Nothing, man. Your people are demanding, like, we want some Gunner, man. Where is that dude? I'm like, he went off the grid, man. I had to track him down yesterday. So,
yeah.
You're sick. What happened? You down, man down, man down?
Yeah, I contracted the flu. The date, okay, so.
What kind of flu?
I tell myself, you know, I'm going to go get my flu shot.
Right.
So, literally, I mean, I'm like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to get my flu shot at the doctor's office, blah, 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 blah. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, man, I don't feel so good.
This is after the flu shot?
Mm-mm. It's the day of. Okay. I'm going to go get my flu shot. So I'm like, oh, man. I mean, I feel... Then it started hitting me really bad. And I'm like, shit, man. So I tell the boss, I said, hey, I can't drive to the doctor's. You're going to drive me. I don't feel good. So I get to the doctor's, and instead of getting my flu shot, I ask them, hey, I'm not feeling good. So they bring me in for an exam. And then they do the swab, you know, up your nose.
Yeah.
The test for it. And then my doctor, she comes back, she's like, I got kidneys and I got bad news. I was like, okay. She goes, bad news is you have influenza, the flu. And I'm like, what? She's like, good news, you just got it. I mean, basically, you're not even really showing signs. So they hammered me with antibiotics, Tamiflu. And then within 2 days, I was feeling really good. I mean, that was the quickest flu. So my tip is, don't put it off. Because it only took like 2 days to hammer up the flu. The problem is, whenever I get sick, I don't know why, but every time I get sick, I get like a sinus infection. And then I immediately contracted the early stages of pneumonia, and then I went back to the doctor's for a follow-up, and she's like, you know, let me listen to this area again. Well, she comes back, she's like, well, I'm going to have to get you x-rays, because we think that you got a crackling sound in your lungs. So.
Do you have a woman doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Did she make you, like, take your clothes off and all that, or are you fully clothed?
What is that kind of question is that?
I'm just asking, I'm interested.
Mac, I'd take my clothes off if any woman told me to take my clothes off.
So she's swabbing your nose and she says, you're going to have to take all your clothes off. You'd say, poof, done. There you go.
I don't care. You know what?
All right.
Ralph, this is a funny story. Ralph, you know, because we take Ralph to get to the doctor's office.
Explain to everybody who Ralph is, so people who don't know. I know who Ralph is, but tell everybody who your friend Ralph is.
Ralph Kiss is a legend in here, and he's the guy that basically has the Smithsonian gun collection in his house.
So you know Gunner's going to be friends with him, best buddies, right?
Yeah, we're good buddies.
All right,
but
you like him. Go to the hospital. He's a good dude.
Yeah, Ralph's at the hospital, and he has every intention of leaving that day, and they're admitting him. And, finally, the nurses, like, three nurses had come in and, said, sir, we get put on a hospital gown. And he said, nope, I'm not taking my jeans off. Actually, I'm leaving here soon. And they're like, no. Finally, the charge nurse, she comes in, you know, the head nurse.
Right.
And she's a dog. She's, you know, that big, personality, that Texas personality. She comes walking in. She's like, hi, my name's Kay. I'm your charge nurse. And Ralph, how old are you? And then, you know, he's like, well, man, he's 7. He goes, okay. Ralph, let me give you a bit of advice. When a woman comes in and tells you to take your britches off, you better drop your britches immediately. And then she pulls the sheets back, grabs Ralph's trousers, and yanks them right off, man. I was laughing so hard. So, rule number one, any kind of woman tells you to drop your trousers, drop your trousers.
Oh, so that was actual legitimate medical advice?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was more social than medical. I didn't realize it was medical. Well, that's interesting. All right, I'm with you.
I didn't. I didn't have to disrobe or anything. Oh. But and then they gave me.
Damn it!
So I'm taking amoxicillin.
Yeah.
That little strong. That's like a fucking horsetail. That thing is hard to swallow.
The amoxicillin they give a lot for sinus infections. I know when you have them, at least on active duty, you walk in and say sinus infections, they give you this, what, six pack, right? You take two the first day.
Oh, no, that's...
What is that?
Yeah, that's a Z-pack.
Z-pack. That's a Z-pack. Is that amoxicillin?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
I don't know. It's some kind of cillin.
It's one of those zillins?
That's what I'm fighting.
Okay, so let's go. Okay, so now back to you. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to you, because we like to keep the focus on you because you're really comfortable talking about yourself. So we go back to you, and you now back at the doctor's office a second time, and you're feeling better because you have the influenza kind of dealt with pretty quick, and then
I'm kind of crappy still.
Okay. All right.
And then that's when they give me the amoxicillin for it. Pneumonia that basically kept me. And then I got lucky there too because, you know, I went back that before it got out of hand, so I didn't have to go to the hospital.
Pneumonia. Like, what is going on with you, man? You like every time I talk to you, you have like migraine headaches. I have gallbladder. You're like the friend from Medical Hell, man. What you used to be this robust, manly dude. Right? Walking around, yelling at everybody, being mean to everybody, and now you're like, oh, I'm sick, Mac. What's going on, man? Ever since you moved to Texas, you've been sickly.
No, that's not true.
That's not true.
The other issues I've always dealt with, so.
Oh, so this is those are ongoing issues, and now these are new. So how was Christmas? Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, I had a great Christmas.
What did you get? Did you get anything new? Did you get any guns? Did you get the $4.5 million meteorite gun? 45?
No one got that before me.
Good stopping power with that thing? So nobody got that for you. All right. So what did you get?
Well, if Montana Man's listening,
he'll
understand that.
He is. You just sent me a text.
I got a black gold 20X. Pure Beaver cowboy hat.
Yeah, nobody else what that is. Pure Beaver cowboy hat? Is that good?
20X, black gold.
Yeah, what's 20X mean? Is that a head size?
No, that's the X's are determined amount of...
What size cover do you wear? What size cover did you wear in the Marine Corps?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
The one that fit my head.
I know. What was medium?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a big head. And now you got hair on it? What size helmet do you wear? You must go like 8 or 8 1/4 now?
Yeah, right.
You have the big Tatanka going on. So what's it look like? Is it like a
beaver head? No, that's Luke. Luke has got the big head.
He does have a big head. Does it have a beaver tail on the back of it? What is like Daniel Boone? What does it have?
No, it's a cowboy hat. It's a black felt cowboy hat. Look it up. Type in 20X black gold cowboy hat.
20X.
You'd be like, whoa.
Oh, gutter got a hat. Hold on. 20X.
Black gold.
Sounds like something you get in Texas. Black gold cowboy hat. It looks like something Garth Brooks would wear. Or Tim McGraw's a guy in a man in a black hat. Okay, so what's special about it? Hello?
No, they're just, it's a gray cowboy hat.
That's it? That's all you got for me? It's a great hat?
Yeah.
All right. Do you wear it all around? Do you wear it all over the place? Every time you go out, you put your cowboy hat on now?
Not all the time, but yeah.
My God. Unbelievable. Okay, I need to ask you some business questions, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
All right, no more infantry assault Marines, says the Commandant. Marine Corps is phasing out the MOS to allow more Marines to join cyber and other jobs in demand. Okay, so can you explain, first of all, explain to everybody what assault Marines did, and what do we do, and how does the Carl Gustav buy fold into this, blah, 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 blah. Go.
Well, the assault men were basically your demolition guys and your rocket guys that shot the small rocket. And they were in charge of, you know, reducing bunkers and breaching. So, but the problem came into that was this, that was like an everyday task for just a regular infantryman. So
making them go away. Okay, so how does is the SMA versus Carl Gustav? Which one do you prefer? And does it require
Carl Gustav?
You do? Carl Gustav been used by Special Forces for decades, yes?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yep. Okay. So, but we had to buy our own.
More munitions, more capable weapons. I mean, this thing is Carl Gustav shoot out to about 1,300 meters.
Wow. Is that a fire and forget, or is there a receiver that you have to have?
No, it's fire and forget. It's a recoilless rifle. Cool. But it shoots a lot more. You've got more capability because you have more selection of ammunition. With the small, you had practice, HE, and anti-armor. With Carl Gustav, you have fragmentation, bounding fragmentation, anti-armor, illumination, smoke. I mean, you have huge, huge selection.
So the impact of losing assault men in a rifle company is what? Just losing two additional or losing additional infantry Marines?
Yeah, I mean you lose the actual. You don't lose the capability. Right. You got other people that can do the same job.
We just lose the bodies. That would have been plugged into other places. Okay, got it. You don't sound that upset about it. All right, answer me this. How what do cyber Marines do in theater?
I don't know. I don't know what a cyber Marine is.
I don't understand what they do. Like, I could understand at the national level what they do, but at the tactical level, like, so we go and
they just make sure your printer's hooked up well, right?
No, they're like infiltrating, you know, cyber like networks of the bad guys, aren't they? Isn't that what they do?
I don't know.
I don't know what they do. So what? I guess we need more. But what are they doing? I don't know. I don't know what they do. Because like the CIA and those guys, I understand. I mean, they're doing stuff.
NSA,
right? And so they have different groups that focus on different parts of the internet and things like that. I got that. But I don't know at the tactical level what Marines do in country. For instance, if we take cyber Marines to Helmand, what do they do for us? Where do they exist? Do they exist at the MEF level? Echelons above MEF? I just don't know. But I was hoping, because you're privy to most of these discussions, that you would know, but you don't.
No, because Cyber Command was just standing up when I was leaving, so.
So you didn't have a chance to go over there and see if they had anything you needed?
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is the basis for the relationship. Okay, all right. Here's an email for you. Mac, first of all, good to hear Gunner back on the air. We missed him. And I've got a question for him. Mm-hmm. I've got a nephew that loves to hunt. He's a deer hunter. He currently hunts with a shotgun and a slug. If I was going to get him a basic but nice rifle, his first one ever for deer hunting primarily, A, what would you recommend? And B, are there a couple cool things that I could get to go with it for deer hunting to make him think that I'm a really cool uncle? He's actually a good kid, so I don't mind spending the money on him.
Just get a 270 or 270 rifle, which is a good rifle, good gun. And anything cool? No, I mean,
come on.
You want to go cool, then go with like get a 260 Remington.
Yeah.
And get in an AR platform, so it's a black gun, but it shoots a 260 Remington.
So it'll look cool when he's walking around with it?
Yeah. Not a lot of people have them yet. They're cool.
Right,
and then if he doesn't mind spending the money, then go all out and get the 260 Remington and the AR and get a suppressor on it. And he'd be really cool.
That is really cool. So as soon as you get that thing out of the truck and you take it out of the case and you pull it out, everybody's like, whoa, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and all the gun jackasses love that, don't they? Whoa, check it out.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. So, yeah, 270 bolt action, and if you want to go ultra cool, get a 260 Remington.
260 Remington AR platform, all right, and then get a get a suppressor on top of that.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. If he doesn't have a scope or suppressor?
Oh, scope.
Okay, so scope before suppressor. And if you want to be a really cool uncle, get both.
Yeah.
All right. I got that. Another email. Mac, I want to hear what the gunner had to eat for Christmas. Did they make anything special? He always seems to have something cool in terms of foodies.
Oh, yeah. We had the meal. Oh boy, did we have milk.
Tell me about it. I want to hear it, Mr. Foodie.
Well, we had Ralph Kiss and Ron and Brenda Massing go over, and Brenda's daughter, Carolyn, and her child, Simone, over. And we had Alaskan king crab legs and crab claws that were flown in from Alaska.
Oh,
and
that's right. I remember now.
Yeah, and we had a 15-pound prime rib roast. So we had prime rib and crab, and it was funny. We're sitting there eating dinner. So you're like, oh, I wonder what the peasants are eating today.
I'll tell you what, prime rib and lobster. Wow.
Oh.
And so how was it?
It was ridiculous. I mean, the crab legs that we got in from Alaska were as big as, kids' arms. They were huge. So, I mean, that was a lot of crab.
So what do you serve with that? That's a lot of food, man. I mean, that's like let me put my big pants on before I even undertake this because I know what's going to happen.
We had twice baked potatoes and asparagus.
You know what? Well done, man, because you can't have too much other food, can you?
No. When everybody's getting almost a 2-pound slice of prime rib and then about, 4 pounds of freaking crab legs. Jesus.
And the butter to go with it.
Oh, we were stuffed.
Tell me about crab legs. I don't like crab legs so much. It's a lot of work to get them out if you don't have all the right tools.
We had the right tools.
You had the right tools?
Yeah.
That's why I'm more of a fan of a lobster tail than crab legs. Crab legs, man, if you don't...
Alaskan king crab, I think, is better than lobster.
You do?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's sweeter. It's better tasting. Oh, it's so good.
All right. And then for New Year's, you were probably under the weather, yes?
Yeah, I was sick as a dog.
Just for the record, Buck said Happy New Year to me, but you didn't. I just want you to know that.
I was sick.
It doesn't matter. Your fingers aren't sick.
Buck speaks for me.
So
he's my spokesman.
Oh, really, Buck? That was implied for you, if Buck says hi?
Yeah.
And Happy New Year? All right. All right. I got that. Yeah. Here's another question. Interesting. Mac, how's Gunner enjoying the cold weather? Good thing he grew up in Minnesota. He knows how to deal with that stuff down in Texas. Do the Texans know how to deal with it? Are they strangers to cold weather? I think they get cold weather.
First of all, I grew up in Minnesota 35 years ago.
Yes.
So acclimated to cold weather. I'm no longer acclimated.
But you're familiar with it. I think is his point. Well, you know how you've had cold weather training.
Yeah, but Minnesota didn't do that for me.
What did that?
Freaking Bridgeport.
Okay, we're not talking about walking around in it. We're talking about living, okay? Existing as a human species, not as an animal, okay?
Yeah, I'd rather be cold than hot anyway.
Oh, really?
My philosophy is you can always get warmer.
You can't get cold?
You know, you can't get colder. I mean, you can't build an air conditioner when it's hot out. You know, and going indoors when it's hot out isn't always applicable. You can't do it all the time. Or you can only take so much clothes off. But when you're outside in the cold, you can always get warm and put more layers on. You know, build a freaking fire. So you can always get warmer.
Okay.
You can't always get colder.
Most Marines I know have no problem answering this question. Do you remember the coldest you ever were in your life?
The coldest I ever was. Yeah, it's probably, like I said, it's probably, I think in Iraq I was in an LAV in the wintertime and it got cold. And those LAVs act as basically coolers, so you're even colder inside. I mean, I remember sitting in the turret in my sleeping bag. You know. Oh my God. Yeah, you're encased in your sleeping bag sitting in that gunner's chair in the turret.
With your face sticking out of the green hole.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what, the coldest I ever was in Quantico. It was 34 degrees, 35 degrees, something like that, and raining. Raining East Coast rain, like heavy, and it was like in February, so sun went down early, and we were in the defense, and as a platoon in the D, and somebody was going to infiltrate and attack us. And it starts raining late afternoon, and so we get out there, we're putting in the defense, right, OP's out, right, OPLP's out, wire strung, you know, lieutenants digging their holes and then immediately filling up with water, like, well, sir, what do? Get in them, that's what you do. And so it just doesn't stop, and pretty soon you're soaked, and the sun's gone down. And now, you know, in Quantico at night, in the winter, you know, you're looking in, you know, in, like I said, in the mid-30s, just warm enough not to snow. And it was like that all night, soaking wet, cold, 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 and just remember thinking, this is the worst I've ever felt in my life. I saw a friend of mine the next morning, Brian Fitzgibbons. He looked like, do you remember E.T. when they find him down in the riverbed?
Yeah.
Like all white and nasty. I saw him. I'm like, I said, Fitch, you look like E.T. in the river. He's like, I look that bad. And he said, yeah. They were lost because all the streams swole. And then, so a lot of times in Quantico, because of the way the terrain is, you're using, you know, small streams as navigation aids. Well, in this case, everything was big. And they're lost. We ultimately had to talk them on to attack us. You know, hey.
Right.
And so, because we sat there all night and we never got attacked. And you're trying not to evacuate people for hypothermia, but they're just sitting there like, all training value has ceased. It was, and I had another one of those as a lieutenant at Camp Pendleton in the Bazalone drop zone outside of Margarita on the side of a hill in a patrol base, same kind of stuff. Misty rain all night, soaking wet, and temperature right. About, oh, man, just miserable, miserable, miserable. Is there, how would that, would you, Texas people drive okay in the cold and snow? You've been out,
yeah.
Have you been out? Are you been
yeah.
Sure?
I mean, you have your idiots, but, I mean, anywhere else.
But they're okay? You wouldn't judge them any harsher as you judge anybody else?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Another email question. Hey, Mac, where did the gunner get his lobster from, if he doesn't mind me asking? Mike?
Crab legs.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Crab legs.
Yeah.
Where'd you get?
From Alaska. And the company up there is called the Great Alaskan something. But I can't remember. But basically, if you look online,
it's called the Great Alaskan something something.
Yeah, Great Alaskan Seafood Company. I think that's the name of it.
All right, stand by. Targets.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, the Great Alaska Seafood Company. It's got some great pictures too.
Yeah, there's some...
look at that. You want to eat if you just look at the website. Without a doubt. Most popular products. Wild Alaskan sockeye salmon is $6.99 a pound. Kaylee's Alaskan salmon bacon. Who knew such a thing even existed? Salmon bacon?
Yeah,
Alaskan birch smoked bacon. Alaskan smoked black cod, wild game reindeer bacon, Alaska shaken salmon bacon bits. Wow. And so what did you order?
We just ordered regular king crab legs.
All right, hold on, let me find them. I'm going to have to do a search.
Great Alaska Seafood.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. King crab legs. So how does do they come packed in like dry ice or?
Yeah, they send you in a box with dry ice and they're flash frozen. If you look at some of the pictures, I mean, literally the legs are huge.
No, this can't be it. This doesn't have crab legs, Mike. The Great Alaskan Seafood.
Great Alaskan Seafood.
Not company. Yeah, I'm on the website. They don't have crab legs. Are you making this up?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at it. Best-selling.
Okay, I'm looking at it, too.
Okay.
The website is greatalaskaseafood.com.
I'm looking at it. I just did a search for king crab legs. They said, we don't have any.
Great. The first one, if you go on the website,
yes,
the very first thing they got is called Great Alaska King Crab. Cold water, the stuff that you're naming off, that's not in there. So you're in a different website. They have crab legs, cold water lobster, shrimp and prawns.
Great Alaskan or Great Alaska?
Great Alaska.
Oh, the bastards, huh? How about that? One letter gets me to a different website. Welcome to Great Alaska Seafood Company. Award-winning support. Who knew? Who knew? You know what? That's garbage. I am unhappy, just for the record.
Yeah. Alaskan seafood. So we got
I've never ordered food like that.
So we got the one that's called the Super Colossal King Crab.
super colossal king crab. And what is it? Explain. What's in the package?
Each crab leg will weigh 1 pound or more.
So, hey, and you would never, or you'd never.
Oh, we've ordered before. We've done it a lot for them. And it's, super colossal. It's $53 a pound.
$53 what?
A pound.
How many pounds did you order?
A lot.
Like 20 pounds?
No, I think we ordered like 12 pounds.
I love having rich friends. I didn't know you were one of them, though. That's awesome. When did you get rich? Could you send me some money?
Yeah, right.
Man, making that big retirement money, right? And your wife back to work? You're just rolling in it. That's awesome. Man.
Yeah, look at the pictures they got on this thing. It's ridiculous.
I'm looking at it. It's Great-Alaska-Seafood Company. Yeah, you might want to
look. No, not company.
No, .com. I'm sorry. And there's a little thing of butter on the... Yo. Wow. Yeah, I've never done that. Have you? So what else have you ordered from them?
Halibut. We've ordered halibut. What else did we order? And that's about it. The legs, the claws, and the halibut.
All right, here's another question. Hey, Mac, is Gunnar a sushi guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sushi people are just so obnoxious. Like, oh, I eat sushi. Oh, really? I eat bugs. Yeah, I eat food off the floor. How do you like that? What, are you like a normal sushi? So give me your go-to sushi. give me your go-to sushi. I like avocado in mine. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, it's okay.
Really? Why can't you just be happy for me? Why can't you just say, Mac, that's really good?
Yeah, I'm not a big avocado fan.
Shit. Okay, so what do you like in your sushi there, bro?
I'm a big fan of just the normal stuff, like, the salmon or the rainbow, they call it the rainbow roll.
Oh.
It's kind of different.
Yeah, I've seen that. All right. Are you a wasabi guy? Are you more of a teriyaki guy? Or do you just eat it straight and don't do a whole lot of saucing?
No, I don't do the sauces.
You don't? You're hardcore?
I just like it. I like sushi just plain.
Just plain? Straight up?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Those guys are talking about Omaha Steaks.
Omaha Steaks? Big deal, man. Yeah. Who would have thought when people came up with the idea? Nobody will ever buy, meat from a butcher by mail order when you can get it some other place in your city. Who would do that? Bless you, by the way.
Thanks. Now, if I'm going to order steaks online, I go to, it's called Creekstone.
Oh.
I don't know if you ever had it. Creekstone. No. Creekstone Farms, I think they are. Yeah.
I don't, come on. I just go to my local store and I buy something that looks good. I'm not that much of a foodie that, like, how long does it take to get there?
Yeah, but when you order the steaks, they get you're getting pretty good products. So.
No, they have to be, right, for you to mail order. It's a whole,
Yeah, it's the aged beef, That's what I like the most.
All right, here's another question for you. Mac, first of all, it's great to hear the Gunner back. Hope he gets better soon. Has he been watching the news at all? Anything on his mind relative to the news, or is he simply in the self-preservation mode? Have you watched the news lately?
No, I'm I haven't seen the news in a long time.
Did you watch any college football? Did you watch the Rose Bowl? You probably didn't watch that.
I watched both of the big games.
Hey, tell me the Rose Bowl was one of the best college football games you've ever seen in your life.
Both upsets, yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was awesome.
I actually wanted Clemson to win. I didn't want Alabama to win. But, I mean, we'll see.
We'll see. Is that the way it is? You didn't want Georgia to win? You wanted that punk Baker Mayfield to win?
Yeah, I like Baker Mayfield.
Come on, man. He needs to, he needs to learn what he was told to learn. Right?
Yeah.
Humility. Humility, bro.
When's the championship game then?
It's this coming Monday. This coming Monday. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a problem with to be the national champion, you at least had to win your conference.
Oh, so you think the whole thing's null and void because Alabama didn't win their conference?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an argument to be made.
That's kind of bullshit, man.
But
you don't win your conference, you can't be the national champion.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter because University of Central Florida just celebrated their being the top team in the country.
Yeah.
They beat Auburn, if you can imagine that. University of Central Florida beats Auburn. Right, that is man bites dog. You know, that is crazy. That's like cray cray stuff to think that would happen. And how excited are the people in Nebraska that guy's going back to his home in Nebraska? They're so fired up. Nebraska used to always be good. They've sucked.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they're kind of like Texas. You know, Texas, right?
Tennessee, the Longhorns. Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, they used Nebraska, to be perennial
Iowa.
Powers. Yeah. I mean, they become like as good as Illinois. Like, Illinois has always sucked.
I mean,
Minnesota. Penn State's good, though.
But, you know, your Big Ten teams, those were the guys back in the day.
Yeah.
Michigan. Yeah.
How about your boy Harbaugh? How long do you think he's, is his act going to wear thin? When he doesn't win, he's not really a cool guy to hang out with. When he wins, he's like a fun, crazy guy making Levi commercials and stuff like that. When he doesn't win, he's just like this crazy dude that wants to do more crazy stuff.
Right.
You think he's going to get fired?
Yeah, I think he'll get fired.
Yeah, is that his act where he's like Billy Martin, you know? It's when
that is worn off.
Yeah, when he's like Billy Martin is good for like a year, and then everybody's like, get this maniac out of here, man. Get him out of here now. And they're like, yeah, okay, this was a stupid idea. And then after he's gone for 2 years, they're like, hey, let's bring Billy back. Yeah, love that stuff. Love that stuff. When can we start talking about baseball? Just a question for you.
Not now.
Spring training is 5 weeks away. You fired up about that? Red Sox? Made no moves. Made no moves so far. They kind of sat pat on last year's roster. Can't be happy about that as a Red Sox fan.
We're not talking about baseball right now.
Oh, all right. We're talking about the off season. We can't talk about that either.
No.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Another email for you, Mac. First of all, happy New Year to both you and the Gunner. Hope you guys both had good holidays, and glad you guys are back on the air again. Since Gunner hasn't watched any news, I can't really ask him a current event. I just hope that the Iranians rise up and crush those assholes that have been causing all the hate and discontent in the Middle East and reclaim their country. Happy New Year out. I agree. I mean, can you imagine the world, how different the world would be if the Iranians weren't running around, like, causing shit everywhere they went?
Right.
You know, that used to be the Western-leaning country, you know, pretty developed relative to the Middle East, probably the most developed in the Middle East. And then
the fundamental guys took over and got to act your traditional, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, let me give some advice to all you Islamic fundamentalist dictators that are listening, and I know you listen because I look at the demographics of the program. Let me give you assholes some advice. You got to pay Social Security, man. When the old people get pissed and they get into the street and send their kids in the street, you got trouble. And that's what you've done.
Yeah.
You stopped paying Social Security, and they're pissed now. And they're not just pissed in Tehran. They're pissed everywhere at you. Okay? So, now let me tell you, and when the Islamic people get pissed, they'll come out and they'll die for whatever the reason is. Yeah. They get pissed. So, anyway. All right, what's on the schedule for today? Yeah, I saw that you posted election stuff. Are we campaigning now? Give us an update on the election.
Yeah, well, we're going back on the campaign trail now, so got Ron coming out through the meet and greet next week, and then we're hosting the meet and greet for our area on next Friday.
Gunner, political operative, big time machine. And Ron's running for, is it the Texas State
County
House?
Judge.
Oh, county judge. All right. Are you enjoying your involvement in politics? How do you like that?
It's okay. I mean, even though Granbury's small, the politics here are kind of bullshit. There's some people here that need to go. They do the wrong thing. And so far right now, the people that have won the election, to replace some of these, incumbents that were just marking time, people we got now are actually the right people. So hopefully things will start changing.
I like that. So here's another question. Mac, when Gunner's sick, does he read or does he just lay down and groan? What does he do?
Gunner reads.
You read when you're sick?
Yeah, I just sit, lay there and read books.
What have you read recently?
Oh, I'm still reading the Supreme Court Justice guy talks.
Who? Which one? There's a bunch of them.
No, the most recent book. The one that just died. Who is the conservative guy that just died?
Oh, S-C-A-L-I-A.
Scalia speaks. Yeah, I'm reading that right now.
Any good? Would you recommend it?
Yeah, it's a really good book. Really good book. You know another good book to read, another Supreme Court justice, is Clarence Thomas's book.
Clarence Thomas, not a controversial man without controversy. What's the name of the book?
It's not Forgotten Son, but it's something similar to that. I can't remember the, but what a great book with the humble beginnings. And that guy was, you got poor and then you had him.
Describe his level of poorness.
Oh, it made poor people feel like they had something going for them.
Oh, really? Living out of a car, stuff like that? Not even a car.
Oh, no. They didn't have a car.
Where'd he grow up?
My grandfather's son.
Okay. All right. Where'd he grow up? Where's he from?
In the South, like Georgia, Alabama. I have to read the book again.
Hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, dirt poor. They didn't even have dirt.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some people that say dirt poor, and it's kind of a figure of speech.
Yeah, at least other people. Dirt poor people have dirt to work with.
Another email. Mac, you were talking about a Wall Street Journal article. I was driving. Could you say again the name and the title? Yeah, it was published, I think, yesterday. It's called Make Iran Great Again. And the subtitle is, like Barack Obama, Iran's leaders don't know how a real economy works. And it's written by a guy named Daniel Henninger. And it says, it's essentially, it's time to stop walking down fairy tale lane with Iran. It's time to support the Iranian people to help them get rid of a dictatorship that has hijacked their country for decades now, since the late 70s when they took those hostages. And the Iranian people, who are pro-Western, and again, people will tell you that you know, that travel there, that they don't hate Americans in Iraq. They're like, what?
No.
What? Yeah. What?
They want those reforms, those Western reforms.
Yeah. But
it's the older establishment that wants to maintain this traditional, you know, it's Islamic viewpoint.
It's the whole cleric thing that they can't get rid of. Anyway, it was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and there's some of the greatest lines, and Mike, you'll love this, so I'll read it. Donald Trump is president because the Obama-Clinton Democrats forgot about hard-pressed voters in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. The Khomeini-Rouhani regime is under assault because working-class Iranians began this week's revolt in cities beyond the capital. Come to think of it, isn't that disconnect between the people running governments and the people trying to make a living in the real economy the core reason behind the worldwide burst of populism? It's the reason France's working-class voters and young, underemployed college graduates sent Emmanuel Macron and a heretofore non-existent party into the French presidency. It's the reason why working-class Brits lunged for Brexit. This new global reality, perform or get shoved aside, is the reason Saudi Arabia's Prince Mohammed bin Salman imposed reforms. Iranians shouting, "Leave Syria, think of us," are the West Virginia coal miners shouting, "Make America great again." It's not Yahooism. It is anxiety directed at incumbent elites who tell the public that reduced levels of economic growth are the new normal. The world's population will not accept that. Pretty interesting little bit of journalism, yes?
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about this. These eggheads that get us involved in wars. And I mean, you see in Iran, they don't make Social Security payments in Iran, but they're funding the war in Yemen. They're funding Hezbollah. They're in Iraq. They're all over, and their nuclear program. And the Iranian people are like, what? What? So, but it's, I'll tell you, the article in the journal is worth a read. And also, Grant Newsham was on earlier today.
He writes for a daily thing there for the journal, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's an opinion guy in the Wall Street Journal. And
right.
Pretty interesting. But he said this kind of came into his head as he went to see the movie Darkest Hour, which is about Winston Churchill and Churchill and Great Britain's dealing with a dictator in the 1930s, which ultimately Nazi Germany, and people wanting to appease, you know, and ultimately Neville Chamberlain, right? You know, he gives Hitler what? Poland and Czechoslovakia, and says, okay, if we give you these things, will you call it good? Like, what? Who gave us Poland? What the hell? Anyway.
Yeah, Chamberlain got played.
Right, and you can make the same argument. Chamberlain is Obama? Getting played like a harp. And one of the things that Grant Newsham said this morning, I asked him about, you know, supposedly President Moon in South Korea called President Trump and said, hey, can we postpone the military exercises that are scheduled to take place during the Olympics? North Koreans want to talk. They're interested in participating. This could be the breakthrough, right? Okay. Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Right, right. And it's... You know, and then he cuts through this scene in The Darkest Hour, in which Churchill, watching Churchill convince a timid British establishment that an outward moving dictatorship won't be stopped at anyone's borders, right? And so Hitler banging on a table, screaming, "You can't negotiate with a dictator." It seems like. Is a lesson lost on history. So, anyway. All right. First of all, good to hear your voice again, Gunner. And know that the Montana man's listening. He was all excited. Gunner's back. All right. My extended family.
Yeah.
Right. Is absolutely enamored with you. I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'll bring him up here and you can meet him and that'll end that. But they'll have none of it. No, we love our gunner. I'm like, shut up. So anyway, so
there. Hey, don't. There's some bright people there.
Not in Sacramento. You've been there. You know that.
Yeah. Hey, do you know what the definition of democracy is?
Democracy. No, I don't know what the definition is.
Definition of democracy, and I'll leave on this point.
Oh, you're going to say, hold on. Let me play some music.
Okay.
Hold on. What would be a good... Hold on, I'll play big time music, okay? That's not it, okay? I don't know how that.
Okay, let me just.
Hold on. No, here it is. Okay, this is background music. Go ahead.
Democracy.
Yes.
It's simply defined as this: two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
That's it? You're going to leave me on that? I thought it was like going to be something of great substance.
That is great substance.
That is great substance. All right. Well, I hope you feel better. Are you on the mend?
Yeah, I'm feeling better.
All right.
My voice is, as you can tell, still catch up.
Not doing good. But it's it. No. But hey, we're okay with it. All right, man. Have a good day. Get your rest.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
There he is, the people's champion. Michael Musselman! How about that? The, good to hear his voice. He's, let me just tell you, with my friends, it's not hard to tell. It's not hard to tell because, they click off the net and they go silent. River City. You don't hear anything from them. And then you gotta go looking for them. Hey, what's your problem, man? Oh, I'm sick. I don't care. Alright, check in then. Breaking news from the Associated Press. Trump administration moves to sharply expand offshore drilling, including Pacific Ocean, for the first time in decades. Stand by for the lawsuits. But, America's energy. Yeah. So, this program repeats itself momentarily. So, whatever you do, don't touch that dial. If you missed it, Grant Newsham joined us today. I want to thank him for joining us. An interesting discussion about Iran. Yeah. I mean, think of a world. In fact, I think it's a pretty good comparison when you think about waking up and the Soviet Union is, they're out of Schlitz, man. They don't exist anymore. Their ships are rotting in port. Yeah, how sweet was that? Yeah, the big bully rolling around and telling everybody what to do. And I don't think the United States is ever like that. You know? We're not the Soviet Union. Like, even on our worst of worst of worst of worst days, as much as liberals would like to tell you that we are, we're not even anywhere near any of those jackasses. Yeah, but remember, that, I mean, all of a sudden they're gone. The Soviet Union's gone. They're not all over the world doing stupid shit. And I had that kind of epiphany. Wow, what if that happened with Iran? What happens if the Iranian people said, yeah, we don't want this anymore? We don't want this whole theocracy thing. I don't want to get my hopes up. I'll just disappoint myself. Yeah, exactly. All right, tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit of food. So we'll have the All Marine Radio head chef's going to be on. Gunner will be back. On Monday, Alex Hollings from SoftRep, he's going to join us. He's going to make a prediction about the Marine Corps in 2018. On Tuesday, Chris Woodbridge is going to join us. And then Wednesday, a cool, awesome feature that I came to when contemplating life during the Christmas holidays, and that is this. Battle studies. Yeah, so what we'll do is we'll get a map chip, and we'll put it up on the internet, and maybe two, and then we'll get one of the principals, you know, and it could be seeing the battle from whatever perspective, that of a squad leader, that of a platoon commander, company commander, platoon sergeant, whatever, whoever the guy is, and then we'll bring him on, and they'll be able to paint the general situation. You can look at the map, and then we'll walk through a battle. And then we'll hear the lessons learned. How cool is that? First up, Lieutenant Colonel, Colonel Select, Christopher J. Bronzy. You'll get to meet Bronzy. He's never been on the program. And he's Battle Buddy times two. I was in Ramadi when I met him out at Combat Outpost where he used to whoop it on every day. World War II style. We didn't really shoot a lot of artillery and supporting arms in 2004 into the cities. We do now, though. And we didn't do a whole lot of air in there either. So they would go out every day and whoop it on. So I meet Captain Chris Bronzy. I'm with Lieutenant Colonel Paul Kennedy, CO24. He and I are buddies from the basic school in Iowa City. So Kennedy calls me and says, "Hey, man, actually, doing a little name dropping here. Brigadier General John Kelly says, hey, Mac, you want to go see Kennedy?" I said, "Yeah, my buddies, right? Okay, come on, we're gonna go meet him out at Combat Outpost." So I hop in, and then we get there, and Kennedy introduces me to Bronzy, who's just a cat. He's a boot captain, right? So Kelly talks to Bronzy, and we're gonna go walk around, and we're walking kind of on the perimeter. And I'm talking to Kennedy, and all of a sudden you hear, and we start running 6 120-millimeter mortars. Tell me they didn't know General Kelly was out there. And 120-millimeter mortars, man, that's like when you're running in the ground, it feels like it's jumping up to meet your feet. Oh, man. Kennedy's screaming as he's running next to me. They're trying to kill. He called it. His nickname, his initials are PJ. Calls himself Papa Jules. We're sprinting towards this structure. And he's yelling, "They're trying to kill Papa Jules." Yeah, I don't think so, bro. I think they were trying to kill the Brigadier General, but. Again, how would they know? I don't know. Anywho, Montana man just tweeted, "Can't wait to hear Bronzy's laugh on live on the radio." Chris Bronzy has the most distinct laugh you'll ever hear in your life. How he got it, I don't know. Because if he's your little brother, and he has older brothers, if your little brother laughs like Bronzy laughs, you beat his ass. It's clearly a cry for attention. And I'm not kidding you. We would be in the COC doing something, and Bronzy used to work like two compartments away. Now, they're plywood, no insulation walls, right? But still, you had to go through one office, two office. They didn't have doors on them, but they were offices nonetheless. And then a door, and then Bronzy was in this third room over. We'd be doing something, and all of a sudden in the middle of the day, Marines start laughing like he was a major at the time. Major Bronzy's awesome. No, he's not. That's ridiculous. Who laughs like that? But you'll hear it. But let me tell you, Chris Bronzy, he is a no-shit American war hero. Leftwich Trophy winner, I want to say 2004-2005 time frame, company commander in 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. Great guy and a warrior. Silver Star recipient, Purple Heart guy. And just a good dude. He's a good dude, good friend, and a great American. And he's unafraid. He'll look at you and tell you the truth, and it doesn't matter what. Because if he doesn't tell the truth, like, he has, like, psychological issues about it. Awesome guy, though. Awesome guy. Just selected for colonel. He will be, without a doubt, a regimental commander of one of the regiments. My prediction, 5th Marines, because he's a 5th Marines guy. And so we'll Chris Bronzy. So that'll be next Wednesday, and we'll do that every Wednesday, which is get somebody from a conflict, get a map chip, a general situation, and then have them walk us through. I want to do it with Barney Barna, and Colonel Type, recipient Medal of Honor, and have him walk us through, right? With Barnum, I want to do it twice. Barnum, first of all, the movement to contact that he was on as a TAD fill-in for 60 days in Vietnam, and that action leads to him becoming a recipient of the Medal of Honor. The second thing Barnum does at his fire base when he goes back as a battery commander, he lowers the gun his guns into direct fire mode and lets it rip. I want to hear about that too. But so more tactical stuff. And so map chip, general situation, and walk us through the battle in detail. And then take a, commercial break, come back, give us the lessons learned that, you've had a lot of time to reflect on this. What are the lessons learned for this? And then, build a little library of that stuff that hopefully young Marines, can listen to guys who've done it before and can go ahead and do that. So pretty cool. Anyway, thanks for listening today. My thanks to Mike Musselman for coming on in his infirm state. And as always, most of all, thanks to you for listening. So this program repeats itself right now. Don't touch that dial. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Good stuff coming up on All Marine Radio. The other thing I'm looking for is if you know people that have unique experiences with post-combat related mental health. So looking to do that. So if you know people that have had unique experiences, to the good or bad, that's a story that we want to tell more, to include caregivers. I got a buddy of mine who you've heard on the program before, Pat. He's in Bethesda right now getting his brain hooked up, trying to get off some medications because he simply got to take too much. Pat, gunshot wound to the head, and awesome dude, but that struggle, which All Marine Radio is dedicated to. So if you know anybody, you know any stories that need to be told relative to post-combat related mental health, innovations, new things, bad things, shoot them to All Marine Radio. You can find us on the website, and then click on Contact Us, and then shoot me a name and some contact information, and we'll go ahead and get them on. So have a great day. This program repeats itself right about now on a Thursday. Out.